What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Sherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Wednesday, April 10th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live on YouTube for your video viewing pleasure. As we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210, the phone number. At 1210 WPHT on social media, I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Greg Stocker is the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Normally on a Wednesday morning, we head on down to the great state of Florida right around 8:30 to chat with Tony Bruno. But since Dawn is in Italy, Bruno said, Greg said, I said, hell, we all said, why don't we go for a full 4 hours?
4 hours!
How many hours, Tony Bruno?
How many hours did you say?
Four. You're looking for your Gene Hackman Hoosiers drop. I know what you're doing. Gene Hackman, by the way, 94 years old.
94. And by the way, did you see the story yesterday in the New York Post? It was a picture of him supposedly wearing the same outfit, but it was on the same day. So now even the New York Post has to be ripped.
Oh, boy.
Being fake news. It's an outrage.
Everybody's wrong these days. Fact checkers everywhere, Tony. Keep your head on a swivel. You never know when you could get blindsided. How you doing, buddy?
Beautiful. Good morning. And I did tweet that we start at 6.
6 a.m.
And we did.
Yeah,
we started at 6 a.m. I'm here drinking coffee, going through the sports scores, and everybody lost. And then I'm saying, well, the Sixers won. But anyway, enough about sports.
Let's exactly
get it
right.
Back to whatever we're doing here, the big take, I think, right?
The Sixers.
Let's get it. Maybe we could do a few more hours.
Maybe we could spend 2 more hours talking about Trump v. DeSantis.
There's so many drops about on me.
I hate it.
Everything
is shaded purple on the sound drop board. For Greg Stocker.
Well, let me just start off with this, guys, because I think we have to get into the right mood. Now that we've survived the eclipse, I did have my double vax card. I found my vaccination card from a couple years ago.
Wow.
Remember when we used to have these things?
Look at that.
I found this in a shirt.
Yep.
The shirt pocket. And there it is. So I am double vax for all you people who think that I'm anti-science.
Yeah.
Double vax. Of course, it was in 2021.
Yep.
In August when I had the shots 2 weeks apart. So I was protected from the solar eclipse, unlike Sheila Jackson Lee, who got burned by the gases of the moon.
Is she the dumbest human you've ever... I mean, my God.
She could be... I have to do my updated elected officials stupid power rankings.
Yeah.
I'll do that later today after the nap, and we'll see where she falls.
Like it.
She could be top three, Tone.
She's
on the Mount Rushmore,
on the Mount Rushmore. 610.
Mount Rushmore of dip S's.
Yes. We got a lot of good stuff lined up on today's show. Tony's going to be with us for 4 hours. We got a big take on crime, law and order, and disinformation. Also, one individual that is still currently employed by NPR decides to nuke NPR for going super, super left. We'll get to that story. Also, a story on how we are not as divided as you would think.
Shocking.
The media, the politicians, they like to say one person is at A, the other person is at Z. We're actually a lot closer to the middle of the alphabet than you would think. We'll get to that. The eclipse stops the internet. And did you know the legendary game Scrabble has officially gone woke?
What? Scrabble?
Because today's youths, Tony Bruno, the Gen Zers out there, they don't like competition, but they do value inclusivity. And that's what we have to do with board games as well now.
Can you play to a tie on Scrabble? I mean, if you don't know the answer, and you do know the answer and you just fake it, nobody loses. So it's, do they have participation trophies now, little trophies?
If yes.
You play Scrabble as a Gen Zer.
That's correct.
And you really don't know if you lost or won because you can't add up. And listen, I suck at math, but even I can figure out Scrabble points.
No, I think exactly. How it works is you don't have to spell anymore.
Oh.
As long as you get close enough to what you're thinking of.
Yeah,
you can just spell it any way you want.
Right, we don't value excellence anymore. Just be above average. Let everybody into the club. So we'll get to that this morning.
What is Gen Z, by the way? I still can't keep track of the
it's
age.
The generation that is younger than me. It's the younger millennials.
No, but how old? What's the age range there?
That I want to say like late teens, to mid twenties. Gen Alpha is what my daughters are. They are 9 years old. So you've got Gen Alpha.
I didn't even know there was a Gen Alpha.
She's kind of hot.
That's the new one.
Oh, yeah.
Gen Z, so you're what, 18 to 25? What is Gen Z? Seriously,
it's roughly in that ballpark.
97 to 2012. So, like, if you were born between 1997 and 2012.
So from 27 years old down to 12 years old.
Millennials are 81 to 96. Gen X, 65 to 80. And the boomers are 55 to... No.
I'm a boomer.
Boomers 2, it says.
No, yeah, right. Boomers doing the morning show on WFAN.
I see what you did there.
Even Miss Robin's up this morning. Now, I'm replacing Dawn, right?
Yes, because technically you are a journalist, much like Dawn Stensland.
Exactly. Well, I'm a semi-journalist. I mean, I can... If journalism needs to be performed, I'm ready to do it and fully equipped.
I will.
Background in journalism.
Yep.
But right now, we're not doing journalism. We're doing talk radio.
You're damn
and
right.
We started at 6 a.m. and we're going to 10.
Exactly.
People wonder, you know, I haven't done a show now in almost 2.5 weeks.
Yep.
So this is like a new epiphany for me.
Did you forget how to do it?
I've been laying low for the last, 15 days. I've been pretty much on the down low, so to speak.
It's like riding a bike, Tone. You get back in front of the microphone and you just start pedaling again, right? Exactly.
I don't want to be like Joe Biden, though, when I stop at the corner when the media is there and then I fall over.
Yeah. Not a joke.
No, exactly. It's not a joke.
It isn't. Always be careful when you're getting up to that point in your life when you're 81 years old. You fall, it could be it. You break a hip, fall down the steps, it could be a wrap. I think that's why they have Lifeline. Do they still do that commercial on television? I don't
know.
Sure,
absolutely.
I haven't seen it too much
I
lately.
I'm falling and I
yes,
can't get
exactly.
up.
Right.
I am doing 10-minute weather updates. Yes, I am. I will be doing traffic and weather on the twos.
Oh, beautiful. All right. I'll make sure I wrap up the big take so we get to the traffic on the twos as we continue here this morning. All right, 6:07 on this Wednesday morning, this hump day. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning brought to you by Best Work Industries for the Blind. The Big Take, crime, law and order, and disinformation. We know how the Joe Biden administration works. Facts are kicked to the curb for feelings. Narratives take precedence over numbers. And the White House will strong-arm social media companies and also the mainstream media into spinning their version of the story like a dictatorship in a third-world country. The economy is booming, they say. Well, Nick, just look at the stock market, they say. Except the cost of living is still super high. Just look at your energy bill, your rent, the cost of buying a home or buying a car, leasing an apartment, the price of gas, or your grocery bill. The border is safe and secure, they say. We don't have an open border, they say. But in reality, we've seen a stampede at the southern border over the last 3 years that has led the border to becoming the number one issue in America during this election cycle, according to almost every single poll that has been taken in 2024. And the same thing is trying to be spun with crime, another sore spot and blemish for the Biden administration. Surprise, surprise. They are back at it again. You might have noticed lately, in passing, when you look at the news, that the usual suspects are trying to tell the masses that crime is not out of control, that crime is totally under control right now, and the defund the police movement has worked, and statistics are showing a dip in crime. It's just a figment of your imagination, and it's all a lie from Donald Trump, and it's a lie from Republicans and those in Congress. Here's Joe Scarborough from MSNBC. Listen and watch this.
Because I know the facts don't matter to Donald Trump, but crime rates keep dropping. Crime, in fact, the rate is lower now than when Donald Trump was in office. lower than it was in 2020, even slightly lower than it was in Trump's best year as it pertains to crime in 2019. Murder rates over the past year in the big cities that he's constantly harping on, down 20%. Rapes down 16%. You can go down the list on and on. The most serious crimes way down. And again, the overall crime rate for 2022, the last year recorded, the crime rate's lower, again, than Donald Trump's best year in 2019. Certainly a lot lower than 2020. So he'll say what he says. Republicans will keep lying. Other news outlets will keep lying about it. And people will whip themselves into a frenzy and say, what about
Morning Joe, a.k.a. the Biden administration's top fanboy, along with his co-host and wife, must have been reading the fake news like Rolling Stone. Here is the headline from them last week. Quote, data from the FBI shows that crime decreased significantly in 2023, including a 13% decline in murder, a 6% decline in violent crime, and a 4% decrease in property crime. There's just a little catch to these figures. Many people have stopped reporting property crime since they know the police are short-staffed and they won't do anything other than filing a paperwork report. Cops are also not arresting people at the rate they did prior to the criminal justice reform movement that we are living through since George Floyd in 2020. And those who do get arrested are receiving no cash bail. And on top of that, we have prosecutors who are failing to file charges and dismissing cases and putting these criminals back on the streets instead of being put behind bars. But if you'd like the truth, here's a bit of a headline from the New York Post. Overall, NYC crime hit levels unseen in the last two decades last year, even as Mayor Eric Adams claims it's a perception problem. See, it's a total joke that Eric Adams, a former police officer himself, is now in total politician spin mode. But you know what? The New York City elites, especially those in the media, they aren't buying it. Here's Stephen A. Smith and Charles Barkley talking about the crime issue in America. Listen and watch.
Listen, man, and this thing, this crime wave we got going around the country where people just running in stores, this is crazy, man. This is crazy. People just running in stores, robbing people, all this homeless stuff. It's to the point, yo, man, we elected y'all to do y'all job. Y'all do your job. Stop this homelessness stuff. Get these people off the street. Find some other way to leave them in front of just out and taking advantage of the public. And, hey, if you come in these stores robbing people, number one, it's open season on your ass. But also, if we catch you, you're going to jail.
They are correct. And here is the data from the New York Post story. Serious crime spiked again last year to levels unseen in nearly two decades, according to internal NYPD data obtained by the New York Post, even as Eric Adams has repeatedly claimed that, quote, crime is down in the Big Apple. For the second year in a row under Adams, overall crime was on the rise, driven by a historic surge in assaults, which neared 28,000 for the first time in the city's publicly recorded history, that according to the rolling report of police department data. The report tracks the tally of seven major felony offenses after the time of arrest to when cases moved to district attorneys who decide whether to upgrade, downgrade, or stick with the charge. For instance, a perp who punches somebody in the face might be charged with a misdemeanor at first, but if the victim's condition later worsens, the prosecutor could boost it to a felony. The count of major felonies, which include murder, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, grand larceny, and car thefts, is generally used as a benchmark for success year after year. While Adams has been touting his success in his war against crime, citing a slight dip reported at the end of 2023, the rolling report shows that the early victory lap was premature. The number of seven major crimes in 2023 jumped to 127,111 once around 430 upgrades and elevated charges were accounted for, marking the highest totals since 2006 for the second year in a row, according to police data. By the way, that's 18 years ago if you're not doing the math. Police sources said it could get even worse, as historically, up to 800 crimes are upgraded in their rolling report annually before the final tally is set for the year. So what is the lesson here? Don't listen to the mainstream media. Don't listen to Eric Adams. But that's just New York. It's a local thing on a local level, just one city. How about nationally, nationwide? The other organization or agency not to trust, as we've learned in the last 4 years, the FBI. See, the Washington Examiner, which rivals the Washington Post, was actually able to do real digging, due diligence, research, and reporting, and they've uncovered that the FBI has been supplying bad data nationwide to help the Biden administration appear better on the crime front. The headline reads in the Washington Examiner, "Bad data from the FBI misleads about crime." It's written by Mark Morgan and Sean Kennedy, if you would like to check it out. Here's a little excerpt. The fourth quarter 2023 crime report from the FBI, the federal government's keeper of crime data, is unreliable at best and deceptive at worst. The FBI's preliminary 2023 data show murder declined by 13.2% across the country, and violent crime dropped 5.7% compared to 2022. Various news headlines have reported the FBI's numbers unquestioningly, claiming murder is plummeting and violent crime declined significantly to pre-pandemic levels. But these latest figures warrant skepticism, as we outline in a new report. In fact, violent crime is up substantially from 2019 levels, and last year's apparent drop is less significant than it appears. They go on to say in the Examiner, part of the problem is how police departments report offenses to the FBI. The FBI asked, then demanded that law enforcement agencies transition away from the system they used for decades to a new, more detailed but onerous one. The 2021 mandate to use a certain data set point to submit crime data proved a disaster, as overstretched departments, especially in large cities, failed to reach compliance and thus did not submit the data. You can read the full story at the Washington Examiner's website, but to say crime is down is like descending from a tall peak and standing on a high bluff and saying you are closer to the ground. A true but misleading statement. Worse, the FBI's crime data serve as a poor meter to judge how high or low crime in America actually is. So what's the solution to the real problem, right? End the criminal justice reparations? I think that's a start. No more get-out-of-jail-free cards? That would help. No more Soros-elected DAs? That would help. Fully staffed and trained police officers? For sure. And no more defunding, demonizing, and demoralizing police in our politics, and also for you out there in the news media. And of course, this little thing we call law and order. Here was Donald Trump at Jonathan Diller's viewing last week after the NYPD officer was killed by somebody with 21 priors. Listen and watch this.
Sad event, such a horrible thing, and it's happening all too often, and we're just not going to let it happen. We just can't. 21 times arrested this thug. And the person in the car with him was arrested many times, and they don't learn because they don't respect. They're not given the respect. The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing and there's nobody like them, and this should never happen. I just visited with a very beautiful wife that now doesn't have her husband. Stephanie was just incredible. Their child, brand new, beautiful baby. Sitting there, innocent as can be, doesn't know how his life has been changed. But the Diller family will, you'll never be the same. You can never be the same. And we have to stop it. We have to stop it. We have to get back to law and order. We have to do a lot of things differently because this is not working. This is happening too often. It's an honor to be here. And again, I want to just thank all of you folks for allowing this. And Bruce, thank you. Bruce has been a friend of mine for a long time. He's done an incredible job out here. But this is such a sad occasion. The only thing we can say is maybe something is going to be learned. We've got to toughen it up. We've got to strengthen it up. This should never be allowed. Things like this shouldn't take place, and to take place so often. So thank you all for being here. It's an honor, and it's an honor for me to be here. This is a great family, the Diller family. I met the friends, and I met every one of them inside, and these are just incredible people that are just devastated. They're devastated. They've got a tough road. It's going to be a very tough road. So thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it.
No more dead cops, no more police assaults, no more innocent victims in society on buses, trains, and subways. No more empowered, emboldened criminals. Do the crime, do the time. It's cheesy, I know, but it's true and it's effective. Or we can continue to run the risk of turning reality into a movie where the bad guys are running society. And that's the big take.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
This segment brought to you by Best Work Industries for the Blind, a nonprofit organization located in Cherry Hill. Best Work Industries for the Blind provides training and employment for people who are blind or visually impaired. For employment opportunities or to donate, go to bestworkindustries.org. Tony Bruno is with us here on this Wednesday. All right, Bruno, so let's get into this a little bit. You have, as we talked about in the big take with all this crime and media manipulation, you have Biden, the Democrats, the FBI, all in the back pocket, all in cahoots, and they just hand the talking points to the media, and the media runs with it, and they read whatever they're given, and they put spin on it, and then they tell you, no, that's not reality. It's just the perception. You're actually more safe than you've ever been, Tony.
Well, the ridiculous part is all you can do is look at the crime. I mean, I keep track of Philadelphia, even though I live here in Florida. I mean, I follow Steve Keeley and all these people who cover crimes. Last night there was an ATV incident in Philadelphia, and every day you can look at the crime numbers. Just because these people aren't convicted, a lot of these crimes aren't even reported, doesn't mean they're not happening. Look at the subway systems going on in Philly with the crime. And so people who pay attention can see what's going on. But you have different people who don't want the crime to be happening. I don't want the crime to be happening.
Of course.
But these are facts. Mm-hmm. These are facts. And the fact that because of politics that we have to differentiate, well, that's not what's really happening. And you mentioned the media. To me, I don't, getting involved with people on social media and having different viewpoints, that's not solving everything. It's holding the people in power accountable for their lies. The media is corrupt. It's the most corrupt it's ever been in my lifetime. Yep. And it pains me to say that. But when you have a corrupt media and then you have people who are refusing to look at facts and just want the facts to suit whatever their particular narrative is, that's not the way you fix things. And that's the biggest problem we have. And now politics matters more than anything else, sadly, in this day and age. I remember 20 years ago, did you know what who you voted for? You asked your neighbors, did you get involved in elections? No, you just went out and you voted. You voted one day, you had the election results that night. Now fast forward, now it takes months. In California, it took them a month to count votes.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the progress?
Right.
That's why people are all messed up when it comes to trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. Before, you had the facts, you made the determination, you saw what they were presented to you. Now there are no facts. You have a corrupt media. You have people on the air, like The View, I mean, who are on there every day spouting nonsense. And they have a lot of viewers. That's the thing.
I know.
And you've got Sonny Hostin and these people talking about climate change is the reason why the eclipse happened. I mean, who's that stupid? Listen, I don't want to insult women because we have a lot of women listeners, and we have a woman here, Robin. I mean, these people are insulting the intelligence, and just label a comedy show. Don't call it a Morning View show.
Right,
The View has no view. They may as well be in an underground cavern somewhere. That's how stupid these chicks are. And again, I'm not trying to be a misogynist here, but who's dumber? We should do a Who's Dumber show.
Right.
The women on The View, which politician, because these people have powerful positions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Is that Sonny Hostin is supposed to be, she's a lawyer.
Right.
I know.
Right. Which makes me really look back on my life and say, how the hell did I tap out of law school after 90 days if she got through in 3 years? But that's a different mystery for a different day. But no, you're right. You look at the media and some of these shows, whether it's The View or these talking head shows on sports media. I mean, so many times these people, they're not even in the ballpark of the truth of reality and the facts. And I quoted and cited all of those facts from the Washington Examiner. That's data that is out there available for reporters and journalists to dig up and share with the masses. But people like the Washington Post, they don't do that. They just run with the left-wing narrative and you just spout it. And then people with the attention span of salad dressing that consume 4 minutes of news a day are like, These Republicans, they're just overreacting. It's not a real issue. Okay, well, then you try going through public transportation in these big cities. Philly, New York. Tony, yesterday we talked about a story that Greg had on the cut sheet where there's this new trend of random people just walking around New York City punching women in the face. I don't know if it's like a TikTok challenge or what it is, but that's the lack of law-abiding citizens we have over the last 4 years. It's open season on crime, if you think about it.
And all this stuff is caught on camera, so it's not made up.
Right.
You know, back in the day, you used to say, well, this reportedly happened. Now there's video everywhere of people committing crimes, walking up and cold-cocking people on the subway, on the streets.
Yep.
So I don't know where people are getting their information from. And again, I'm not saying my information is right and yours is wrong. Just get the facts. But you're not getting the facts on media. You're getting a spin. And I get, you know, the shows like The View, they're not really journalism shows. They're basically comedy shows without a laugh track, because even the audience doesn't laugh because they believe everything they say. The audience is trained SEALs.
Right.
It's like Colbert putting on AOC to discuss important developments in the world. Remember when the late night, that's supposed to be a comedy show.
Yep. Yep.
And they put AOC and these people on because they're not a comedy show. They're basically just talking. They're basically political pawns pumping misinformation every night under the guise of being late night comedy.
Right.
There is no late night comedy anymore.
That is correct. Oh no, Tony's video feed keeps cutting out.
Cameras.
I don't know. Not sure if that's a Phil thing
no,
or
it's
if
not
a
on your
thing.
End. It's, okay. I'm worried that my
we'll blame Robin for this one.
Switcher is.
Uh oh.
I know that's not going to be good.
Am I not on?
No, you're good. You got you now.
On me?
You were cutting out for a few choppy seconds.
I haven't even moved my hands that much.
I know, which is hard to do as an Italian, right?
I know. I'm going to get duct tape and put my hands tape my hands down to see if I can talk without moving my hands.
In this instance, Tony, it has nothing to do with you. It's the machine. The machine is
the machine.
Damn the machines!
All right, Robin, get on it. Get on it right now, pronto.
Really quick,
stat.
Though, I don't know if any of you read the book "How to Lie with Statistics." It's an old book. I remember reading it in college by Daryl Huff. It was, I think, it came out in like 1950 somewhere.
How to Lie with Statistics?
Yes,
wow.
And it is a book that really is relevant now when you see all these people spouting statistics and saying, oh, this is the reality. Statistics can be manipulated so easily. And if you don't realize how much it is done by journalists in this day and age, it's cheap. It's an old book, How to Lie with Statistics. It's a fun little read. Daryl Huff.
All right.
Highly recommend it.
Beautiful. We'll look that up. Speaking of lying with statistics and putting spin, this is the first story of the day I want to get to, and I thought this was fascinating, and I've long suspected this, but now you get it really point blank, period, right in your face. NPR, I'm going to totally butcher this name. Is it Yuri Berliner?
Yes.
Yuri Berliner.
Yuri Berliner.
Yeah. Yep.
So Yuri Berliner comes out and hammers public radio's liberal bias. Now, Yuri Berliner has worked at NPR for 25 years. He graduated from Columbia School of Journalism, very esteemed journalism program. Also went to Harvard University. He's won a Peabody Award, an Edward R. Murrow Award, all of these journalistic accolades. But none of these accolades, however, according to Mediaite.com, will earn him the attention for his latest foray, taking a sledgehammer to his own employer in a scathing piece written for the Free Press. Berliner currently serves as senior business editor for NPR, which he criticized in blunt terms for its movement towards what he describes as an illiberal position of progressive dogma. He did so in a piece published by the Free Press, which is a site founded by another critic of the liberal leanings of America and their major news institutions, the great Barry Weiss. As you know, Barry Weiss, Matt Taibbi, Michael Schellenberger, the Twitter Files fame, those are like the last standing true journalists out there. And he accuses NPR of having lost America's trust. He writes this following excerpt: "An open-minded spirit no longer exists within NPR, and now, predictably, we don't have an audience that reflects America. That wouldn't be a problem for an openly polemical news outlet serving a niche audience. But for NPR, which purports to consider all things, it's devastating both for journalism and the business model." And Tony, this just confirms here for me what I have thought for at least close to a decade. We no longer really have journalists. We just have activists that pick a side and regurgitate the talking points. Because if you do real journalism, you might find out that whether it's far left or far right, maybe the answer and the truth is closer to the middle. But we don't like living in an area in a world where the gray area is maybe where the real truth lies. And we've seen this especially so, I believe, on the left in news and in sports, where they just come out and they regurgitate what the establishment wants you to think. There's no more diversity of thought, and there's no challenging somebody else's thought. It's just fall in line or be dealt with, pretty much.
Yeah, I watched the interview. He wrote a column about it, and then Barry Weiss did the interview on her podcast, which is called Honesty with Barry Weiss, and they break it down. And he admits that, you know, the problem with NPR and most of the media, the mainstream media, the one that people consume the most, they ran with not the lies, but they ran with the stories that they were told that was the case in the progressive world.
Right.
Like the Hunter Biden laptop.
Yep.
They hid that because they were told that there wasn't a laptop by all the supposed people, you know, in our criminal justice system, all the experts, the 51 high ranking officials who said that it was Russian disinformation. So they hid the stories that turned out to be true to protect a narrative, which is all of these things were to get Trump. And he even acknowledged in the interview that I was watching yesterday that in 2016, the whole mission was to stop Trump from becoming president because Hillary Clinton was supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew it. She knew it. We all knew it. We thought she was going to win because Trump had no shot.
Right.
And then Hillary, to her surprise and outrage, lost because she didn't pay attention to a couple of the states. And ever since that election, the whole thing has been, now we can't let Trump get back into office. We got to get him out of there. And the admissions were startling because he said they would not listen. And then he later went on to say that there were like 35 or 85 people. I don't know what the total number was.
Mm-hmm.
Not one single Republican. Everybody who worked at NPR was a Democrat. And again, I don't have a problem with that. But when you're in a groupthink tank like they have at NPR and everybody is of same narrative or same opinion,
mm-hmm.
you're not getting the other side.
No, you're not.
I used to love listening to NPR on Saturday mornings. They had that show where the guy would take an audience call and they did it live. You know, the car guys. NPR was great. But all of a sudden now, if you listen to them, you can tell. First of all, they're tedious and boring. I don't know how anybody listens to them without falling asleep in their cars.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's the thing, that, you know, they have no energy.
Yeah.
And it's obviously all, it's not, I wouldn't call it propaganda. It's groupthink.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's groupthink only tailored to their particular beliefs. And now he's admitting, and here's the best part, guys, is that he still works there and went back into the office after exposing his entire operation.
He'll be canceled by Friday.
He won't. I guarantee you he won't, because if they fire him, then it'll look like NPR is punishing a guy for telling the truth about what's going on at National Public Radio.
We have audio of him. He was on with the Chris Cuomo last night that we'll get to at 7:45. What really pains me about this whole thing is not just, like, organizations can have whatever view they want to. I don't care.
Hmm?
But with NPR, especially here in Philly with WHYY, like, that's taxpayer funded. You and I are paying for that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see them in the rankers, you know, for the ratings, and I see them in like the top 10, I'm just like, this is, first of all, they have no commercials, they have no sponsors, it's all taxpayer funded or donations.
Right.
And to see that people listen to that crap and just regurgitate it, and it just annoys me to no end. That's what your tax money is going for. That's what I have a problem with.
Right. You're exactly right.
Is one of those. I mean, my mom is a huge NPR. I think that's the only radio station other than classical music that she has on. I sent her the article that was written by Yuri, and she wrote back, "I agree that NPR leaned to the left around 2016, but this man's report has its own biases. Thanks for sending."
Oh,
so biases. The guy works there. He's been there for 25 years.
I mean, you know, the people that listen to it, hook, line, and sinker, they They cannot see anything other than that reality.
You're exactly right, Robin. I'm going to
burn my NPR gift bag. I want my $25 back.
I'm going to go out today and burn it
right here in downtown South Cape Coral.
Yeah.
And then have it go into the Caloosahatchee River. The tattered remains, the burned out NPR tote bag. I stay up and watch one of those concerts that they interrupt 15 times to come in and pimp for your money. It's an outrage.
He goes on to say in this column, a little more than a decade ago, I noticed a significant shift in the tone and the story coverage on public radio. At first, it felt like self-parody, as if story selections were being made as part of an SNL skit written and designed to mock NPR. And then the short stories trended from absurd to partisan with an identity-based narrative where everybody is a victim. And he is saying that this shift started with Donald Trump, which a lot of people say is true. I think it started slightly earlier than that. I started noticing it, especially from a sports talk radio standpoint, in 2012 when I was producing with Tony Bruno and producing the Tony Bruno and Harry May show. You started to see this little interjection of politics and things like that right in the beginning of Obama's second term. And then I think right around 2014, about a year before Trump came down, you know, the golden escalator, that's when it started to really take off. It exploded during Trump's first campaign and his first term. And then in 2020, it just went into complete overdrive. And I really do believe this. And I know a lot of people say this, and I hate regurgitating what a lot of people are saying, but I think truly, Tony, Trump broke the brains of many in the mainstream media and the establishment. And then 2020 and everything from 2020 with COVID, George Floyd, and that year from hell, that was just the icing on the cake.
No, I agree with you. I think it started when Barack Obama was elected for the first term in 2008.
Okay.
There's no doubt. I mean, everybody was enthralled by Barack Obama. I mean, the guy was smooth. He was sharp. He was hard to dislike. He said all the right things. And I think that's when the whole adoration thing, we talk about cults, there was, you know, and by the way, Barack Obama was elected again. And for the people who said, you know, the black vote elected him, no, the white vote elected Barack Obama, not once, but twice.
Mm-hmm.
So he was obviously revered and he was special. You know, I mean, this guy had that whole look about him. He was smooth. He did everything that everybody was expecting him to do. And then all of a sudden, that's when, to me, the media basically became, you know, tingling up the legs, as What's-His-Face used to say on MSNBC. He got the tingle in his loins.
Chris Matthews,
The Barack Obama era was supposed to be the special thing because it was the first black president. And I'm not, but Bill Clinton's not the first black president. Just because he played saxophone on late night TV didn't make him the first black, you know. Anyway, Barack Obama is the guy that everybody in the media fell in love with, and you could not criticize him or you could not question anything that happened in his administration.
Right.
And that's when I believe this all started. And then when Trump, the outsider, somehow got involved and then won the White House, they went full on after him. And again, you don't have to like Trump. You know, anybody who likes Trump is not in a cult, by the way. And that's another one of those interesting sidebars. Are you in a cult? You're not in a cult. You can vote for whoever you want.
Yep.
But the media is in a cult. The media is in a cult of making sure Trump doesn't get back in again because they're afraid that he's not going to become a dictator. They're afraid that he's going to keep them from doing what they do without any kind of blowback. The Mayorkas thing. You know, here's Chuck Schumer saying, oh, you know, we shouldn't be doing impeachments like this for no reason.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't want a vote on Mayorkas, who's been the biggest crook in this administration with the borders.
Yep.
He can't face impeachment, but Chuck Schumer's putting up articles of impeachment every week.
Yeah, that's right.
During the Trump years. That's why people don't buy any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people can't trust politicians, because they're liars. They're all liars.
Yep.
And they're the people in charge. They're the people that should be condemned by the media, not put on a platform and give them a platform to do this stuff.
I agree.
What are you pointing at?
855-839-1210, the number if you want to jump in. Coming up next, the media divides and politicians divide. but we're not as divided as people think. We'll get to that story and the facts to back it up as we continue. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. We recently dropped the debut episode of Kale Pool Karaoke just about 10 weeks ago. You can go back and watch it on all of our social media channels. And we filmed the premiere episode in the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport. It's Honda's big, full-size luxury SUV, and the Trail Sport model has a lot of cool features, off-road, rugged durability, but also a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, so you've got safety and security from every conceivable angle, 18-inch alloy wheels, wireless Apple CarPlay for the kids, for their devices, their tablets, so they can always be connected at all times to the internet, and also, if it's for your wife, third row seating. If it's for your husband, an extra row for golf clubs, groceries, mulch for landscaping projects. The 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport. This thing is a beauty. You can explore it and all the variations of it at one of the 5 Piazza Honda locations in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne. Or shop their inventory right now online at PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Tony Bruno in for Dawn this morning. Greg Stocker, Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo here as well. Miss Robin as well. 855-839-1210. That's how you jump in. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT to jump in the Kale & Company comment community. You can also hit us up on Twitter, where I think they call it X these days, @1210WPHT. Michael Newbaum says, show sounds awesome. So fun to have your voice heard back in Philly, Tony Bruno.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm awake. I'm alert. I don't know what I am. I'm ready. I'm having fun again. It's about the, you know, we talk about a lot of things that are divisive.
Yep.
But we, for the most part, we want to have fun, right? We don't want to deal with all this nonsense every day. But it's reality. You deal with reality, and then you try to enjoy life. That's what I'm doing here.
Exactly.
That's all I try to do every single day. Well, just try to enjoy life because it's a gift.
Yeah.
Even with Robin, it's a gift to have her around.
Yes. Yeah, until she screws up. Until she screws up the video feed, and then you got to take her to task and give her a bump, bump, a bum.
During the break, I just saw on Twitter, I know you're a big guy in the Masters. I know you're a big Masters guy.
Oh, this is a great week, Tony.
It's the granddaddy of them all, right?
It is,
man. Did you see it? There's a clip. You got to have to pull this. We got to get it's a dad and his daughter at the daughter's wedding. So the dad, after they had the dance, they go out to this green, to this like range. It's basically an island over a lake, and then they tee up a golf ball each, and they drive it into the water while the Masters theme is playing.
Oh,
wow. We got to find that clip. Yes.
I've been known to drive golf balls into the water, too, but the Masters theme is never playing in the background for me. It's just some guy behind me saying, hey, pick up your ball and move it, jerk. That's usually the way it works for me.
When you play golf, this should be on speakers, just on every golf course, playing in the background.
Absolutely.
Oh, you got the Masters theme? Is that what I hear?
There it is. Yeah. You hear it? Yes. Let's go to Nick Kale, Amen Corner. And can we say Amen Corner? Is that too religious?
It's quite.
I mean, let's be honest. Amen Corner, that has religious. Do we have to separate golf from religion?
Golf,
or is golf
church,
a religion?
The state. Well, golf is a religion, Tony Bruno. But here we are at the par 3 7th, 158. Tony Bruno's pulling 9-iron. Now the wind has picked up, and Robin's handing him an 8-iron. Choke down, Tone. Choke down, she said.
Damn right.
There you go.
Wow. I'd spit in the divot.
Yeah, yes.
Do you still say that when they play golf?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I just didn't know that.
Beautiful. By the way, the audio is a little choppy. Having trouble hearing that. I hear
really?
It very,
Robin?
Very faintly.
It
yeah.
Crank it up, Robin.
I don't know if cranking up will help.
Is that any better?
A little distorted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
We're going to have to give Robin a mulligan for the first hour here.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Well, it's clear in our headset it must be just the transfer on Zoom.
It is. It is. Don't cross the streams, Venkman. Don't cross the streams. All right, we'll come back. Kick off hour number two. I want to get to this story from Axios on why America isn't as divided as we think. And we've got some numbers and some figures that will prove that. We'll get to that. And then also, Charles Barkley says if you made a whole day out of watching the eclipse, you're a loser. And for the first time in weeks, I'm on board with Chuck.
I agree
with Sir Charles. We'll get to that as we continue. Bruno's in for Dawn. Hour two is next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.